This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Kako, a collision with the goaltender, centers, score! Filipino!
There was goaltender first, therefore we have no goal.
So he ends up wiping out the goalie. It was an awful call.
He was pushing. I mean, and it was obvious.
Yeah, tough, obviously. You want those calls to go your way.
And you don't
want to
blame referees, but I think you guys got screwed because I think that was a bad call.
I thought it was a call that could go either way, so it is what it is.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I had something to say, and I have no recollection of what that was. So let's turn into the Mets for a minute.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, this should be a fun hour. DPHRO Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Now, Rick, we had teased the pickle earlier in the show. Do you want to do a pickle at 7:30?
Listen, I put it on the table. I'm a professional, so I'll try to. I can do my best.
Well, what's the matter? Talk to me.
No, listen. There's nothing to matter. I just thought I don't know how I get up from that. I don't.
From what? From thinking that. And you know what was great about what you just did there?
Nothing.
Is I said, by the way, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yes, he'd be great as Buck Showalter, except he's dead. You go. No. Yeah. No, I know.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead, right? But the reaction is No, I know.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead, right?
Yeah, I do. But if they were going to do a movie, that's what that. And he was alive, I would go with him.
You had no idea, did you?
I had no idea. No.
But if he was alive, oh, you are unbelievable.
If they were doing a movie produced in heaven, yes. Then
you know who could play Max Scherzer? John Belushi. Get John Candy to sit in the front row.
Not my finest moment.
No, really wasn't. DPHRO Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. I want to get back to the Rangers, but that was too much fun. Let's go to Brian in Oceanside. Brian, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, or bad morning for Rick. Rick, buddy, I have a silver lining for you. I really do. Now, listen, I wake up a half hour early to drive into the Bronx to go to work just to listen to you guys. So I love you. But that was pitiful. I have a silver lining, though. I really do.
All right, let me hear it.
I think you just created your own bracket in Drop Madness for next year.
Good, great, grand, wonderful.
Michael and Don have to hear this, and I think you might have just got on, and that was so terrible that I think you could take it. That could be number one.
They don't want the smoke that we provide. If we put our drops in their Drop Madness, in fact, RJ, haven't we tried to put drops in their Drop Madness and they won't take them, right?
I don't know if there's been a formal request. I think we'd have to start small. Like maybe we get one drop from each of you in the nether region and test the waters.
No, because it would wind up winning and it would throw the whole thing off the rails.
Listen, if Carlin drops can end up in Drop Madness, why can't I drop?
Because they don't fear those drops.
They're not fearful of the Carlin drop. The Carlin drop is just, it's whatever. It's fine. It might make a run, get to the Elite Eight. It's not going to go all the way. Our drops could go all the way.
And RJ, I don't like how you're saying we'll start small with in the nether region. That gun is offensive.
DJ on Twitter says, so Dave kills people and Rick resurrects them.
I see dead people.
Yeah, we just had
nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead, right?
How about I just want to hammer home the point that he has to.
He has to. You realize he's dead, right? No. Yeah, but still, if you were alive, that's who.
You're unbelievable.
All right. Can we get back to the Rangers? I mean, I'd prefer to make fun of you the rest of the show because the Rangers conversation is very painful, but I think we owe it to the listeners and the fans to get into the Rangers discussion. That was awful last night. And the thing that I think you wake up this morning and bothers you the most is that's got to be a goal. That's not goaltender interference. He was pushed into the goalie, and that should be a goal. And because it wasn't, the Rangers wind up losing in triple overtime, keeping us up into all hours of the night, and now trailing this best of seven, one game to none.
Yeah, I watched it a couple different times, too, here during the course of the show. And if you watch it again, and you know, we talked about this in the 5 o'clock hour, as Kako comes across the crease, you can tell, you know, even how he has his feet positioned, that he's trying to pull the puck in his body away from DeSmith and then wrap the puck, you know, far side around his foot. You know, Dumoulin's on his back, bumps into him, and if you watch it again, because I just watched it again, it's actually Dumoulin that ends up wiping out DeSmith and dragging him out of the net, which leaves the net wide open. But again, call doesn't go your way. I still think, I mean, when you look at the totality of this game, I mean, first period, you couldn't ask for better from the Rangers. And that period was exactly what you were looking to do. It was, I mean, it was physical. He had 19 hits in that period, 15 shots. Fox has the PP goal. And then for some reason, you know, second period, yeah, the momentum turned.
But I think you expected that to, like, I didn't expect them to fall apart.
Not for the entire period.
25 shots and three goals. But I didn't expect them to play at that level the entirety of the game.
No, I didn't either. And you expect, I mean, this is, listen, that's a team that's had, you know, has a lot, especially their, you know, their top tier guys have, you know, a ton of experience of won cups, right? I mean, their coach has won cups. So, I mean, you expect you're going to get some pushback. Now, it's how you deal with that pushback. Like, I mean, okay, you know, you're going to push back for a couple minutes, but we're going to take that momentum back. I mean, that second period, like you mentioned, I mean, the Penguins had 25 shots in that second period. And Igor, I mean, he gives up three goals, but he stood on his head.
They could have scored five or six goals in that period. Easily.
See, yeah, and that's the thing. Because right now, for a Rangers fan, I can only imagine how you feel right now. But a couple things is DeSmith ends up leaving the game, and he played well. He ends up leaving the game with lower body cramps, whatever it was. And you get, you know, Louis Domingue in the second OT, who looks like, you know, he's wearing a brand new set of pads that he just took out of the box, has no idea he's going to come into that game, had spicy pork and broccoli during the intermission, and you couldn't find a way to get one on him. That's the first thing. Second thing is they got to figure out what they're going to do with this Crosby line. Crosby, Gensel, and Rust are a real problem for them right now.
Yeah, they completely dominated. So the Rangers didn't score a goal from what? From the Kreider goal in the second period. So they didn't score for the third. They didn't score in the fourth period. They didn't score in the fifth period. So I mean, and they didn't score in the beginning of the sixth period. They didn't score for a full game plus after Kreider scored that shorthanded goal.
Yeah, correct. And they gave up 83 shots,
which is the second most in the history of the NHL. The 83 shots that were thrown at the goaltender. So and in playing what? In playing 60, 100, 101, 108 minutes, something like that, they scored one 5-on-5 goal last night.
Yeah, they had the shorthanded, they had the power play, and they had the one 5-on-5 goal.
So you can make excuses, and I think that they're built in. I think it's obvious. I think that was an awful call. I thought at the time, I thought on the replay, you hear the analysis, that's a bad call. But you still had a lot of time to capitalize, and you couldn't get that done. And, you know, I blame the officials, and I blame the Rangers, too, for that, because they should have won that game last night.
Yeah, they should have won. I give Pittsburgh a ton of credit. I mean, they fought back because they looked, I mean, they looked in that first period. I mean, with the physicality of the Rangers, they're just dumping pucks out. They're not making plays. So I give them credit for bouncing back and winning that game. But, the Rangers are in a spot now where you got to spend today, you know, obviously, you know, getting the appropriate rest, but, you know, try to figure out what happened from the first period to the second period. How do we fix that? Because, I mean, you heard Gallant after the game, got a little bit too cute. Panarin's got to play better. I mean, that's bottom line for me. He's got to play better. He's got to be more of a factor. You can see he was kind of frustrated. Wasn't handling the puck well. Kreider scored the shorthanded goal, but I don't... with the kind of season that he had, I expect, especially with his size and speed, I expected a little bit more out of him.
I think it's fair.
And again, I'll highlight it again. I think the biggest problem that the coaching staff has to figure out, especially because you're at home and you have last change, is who do we want going up against Crosby's line? What D we want out there? What line we want out there? Because you could tell, like Sully, Mike Sullivan, the coach of the Penguins, and I told you, he's one of the best coaches in the league. Like, he realized, especially in that second period, that Crosby's line had it going. So how can we put them in the best spot to have success? And he was trying to find ways to get them out there against the kid line. Like, whatever he had to do to give them the advantage, he was trying to find ways to do it. So that's what you're up against. But I have no, listen, I have no concerns at all about Shesterkin. I thought he was awesome. The only thing I'll say about him is I didn't think his puck handling was as good as it usually is. I thought he was slow to make decisions. And then that last goal in OT, that's...
That's not his fault.
No. I'm not saying that. But I get you're tired, but you can't have that happen. I mean, you can't have Pittsburgh. That's a dump. They're going for a change. You have, you know, clear puck possession. Shesterkin gives it to Miller. Schneider gets the puck, you know, the puck. He's trying to clear it. It gets knocked down, and then Hedl has the puck. It gets taken away from him. And anytime you turn the puck over a couple times in your own zone, bad things usually happen. And that's the other thing, too, that Pittsburgh, I thought, did a really good job because they know how good Shesterkin is get pucks and bodies to the net, man.
Yeah, but the Rangers didn't do that at all. It felt like the Rangers were going for this beautiful game-winning goal where I have a shot, but I'm not going to take it. I'm going to pass it to you, and then you get it. You have the shot. It's wide open, but you pass it for the perfect goal. Just throw the puck at the net, for God's sakes.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's not like, I mean, I can understand why you would do that against Shesterkin or Vasilevskiy or one of those really good goalies. It's like, you know, if he sees it, he's going to save it. So we're going to, you know, we want to, you know, sometimes we try to make the perfect play to beat him, but... I mean, you're going up against Pittsburgh's backup, and then the backup to that backup. I thought a perfect example of that was Fox in the first overtime.
Oh, the one to Strome? Shoot the puck. I mean, eight feet out? Shoot the puck.
I mean, you're right down the pipe, right down the slot, and you're an elite
offensive defenseman.
One of the best offensive defensemen in the league.
Yeah, shoot the puck.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So now you're going to get no sleep, and then on top of that, you lose. You're going to be tossing and turning. I mean, what an awful event at the Garden last night.
Just terrible. It's an amazing moment, though. It's one of those games that you won't forget.
Yeah, but you won't remember it fondly. You'll just remember what happened.
Well, listen, you might. I mean, if all of a sudden this is, you know, you lose game one and then they bounce back in game two and they look great, they win game two and you win the series.
If they win the series, you won't be horrified by that loss. If they lose this series, and if they lose the series in seven, like if this goes extended and they lose, you will be heartbroken over that loss last night.
Yeah, especially with how well they played in the first. And then just something, whatever, however you want to explain it.
Well, I think they took their foot off the gas.
Well, and I don't know if it was they took their foot off the gas. They got away from what was working in the first period a little bit. And then you mentioned it. I mean, a team like Pittsburgh with, you know, Crosby and Malkin, you know, Mike Sullivan is their coach. You're going to get pushback. And you got pushback, and then all of a sudden Pittsburgh started carrying the play. And Pittsburgh got a lot of really good chances, and you were lucky that game went as long as it went with some of the saves that Shesterkin had to make.
It was unbelievable. I mean, they hit the post a couple times. I think they hit the post at least twice in the overtimes.
Yeah, Rust hit the post. Heinen in the third period hit the crossbar. The glove save that Shesterkin made on Kapanen was filthy.
He really was great. He really was. All right, people want to talk. We want to talk to the people. 1-800-919-3776. Lou and Manalapan. Lou, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, guys? Let's go Mets. Let's go Rangers. But, I mean, that game was – that was a disappointing one from the officiating to just how up the Rangers came out of the gate. You know, it seemed like everything was going to work well. You know, they were going to be intense all game. And, you know, the hitting was really good in the first period and parts of the second and third, but it wasn't consistent. And, you know – the thought I had when we got into the third overtime is that the refs had to be killing themselves considering the fact that they could have been home. They could have been drinking some beers thinking about game two, but they didn't want to, you know,
that's
keep
not the refs.
Goal they wanted.
Lou, that's not the refs, though, Lou. The refs make the call on the ice, and that gets decided in Toronto. the situation room in Toronto.
Oh, okay. So it's Toronto that overturns it. I thought it was more of like a baseball situation or a football situation where. Okay. All right. That's my bad. But you know, I hope the Rangers could get up in this one. You know, in this series. You know, it's really disappointing considering three overtimes. You know, you hope their legs are good and, you know, they could be fresh for Thursday night.
Well, thanks for the call, Lou. So am I wrong to think that because the Rangers are the younger team, they should be fresher on Thursday?
I think both teams will bounce back. I mean, I don't think you're wrong. No, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, it's the reality that, I mean, younger guys bounce back quicker than older veteran guys. And it's some of the most impactful best players on the Penguins are older guys that have a lot of Letang has a lot of wear and tear in that body. Crosby, Malkin, they played a lot of hockey. So
I'll tell you that Gensel never gets tired, huh?
No, that whole line, man. That line is a humongous problem. That line, losing faceoffs cleanly in your defensive zone. That you can't have that keep happening. Because when you start losing faceoffs like that, and Pittsburgh's so good with the amount of faceoff plays that they can run. But now you're talking about kind of what you saw in that, like, pucks being thrown at the net with, you know, bodies, sticks, and everything else. That's when, like, you know, crazy stuff starts happening with deflections or, you know, pucks, you know, hit someone in front and it's just laying at the side of the net, open net. Like, that's, you can't lose faceoffs clean like that.
Right, I don't know if we should go to this guy, but I will because I'm nice. Tom in Pittsburgh. Have at it, Tom. You're next up.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Who do you root for? Who's your team? Before you even start with your point, who do you root for?
Well, I'm a Pittsburgh guy, so Steelers, Pens are my team.
All right, so we're getting this call from the Penguins' perspective. Go ahead.
Yes, and my kids are Rangers fans, so I understand it. Well, all I was going to say was you guys mentioned it earlier in the show. They had to win that game, just if nothing else. It was the opportunity. I mean, they had backup goalie upon backup goalie in that game. I mean, if Louis goes down, I think they're using a guy from the fan from the stadium to go into the net. My whole point was, don't leave it to the ref's hands. Just put it away in the second, third period. I think you guys understand that. You don't leave it up to the refs to.
But
to
Tom,
win or
why
lose
can't both be true? Why can't you be frustrated that you had it on a silver platter and let it get away? And in addition to that, the referee screwed up that call at the end of the game.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the refs screwed it up or didn't screw it up. I'm just saying, we don't have to be talking about it if you just took care of business. I think if I was in the Rangers' seat today, I'd say, you know what, we played a good game. Let's not leave it up to doubt.
I get a little
punch drunk because all my Super Bowl rings are stirring around in my Stanley Cups.
You're just obnoxious. You know what? Your kids.
He just Patrick Wadd you. He just said I can't hear you because I have Stanley Cup rings in my ears.
I wish you didn't cut him off, Santy. His kids.
Oh, it sounded like you were done. Like,
no, I wasn't done. His kids.
Dave's much louder when
Rangers.
He's done. Dave's much louder when he's done. Oh, his wife's probably from New York. Maybe his wife's from New York.
Great reference.
I knew that was going to be a problem.
That's not a problem. You're going to get. I mean, we want to be fair. You get the Pittsburgh.
No, I want to be fair, but I don't need him to sit there and hang on the rim.
Well, he's not hanging on the rim. He hung on the rim. Well, listen. Eventually, he hung on the rim. But I get his point. I mean, that same thing. I mean, you heard Gallant after the game saying it was a 50-50 call. He's going to say to his team that wasn't a goal that got called back to tie the game. It was to win the game. It didn't work out, and we still had the first overtime and the second overtime. To find a way to win.
I get it. It's still a bad call, and the Rangers still should have won that game because of that, I thought, egregious call at that time. It's a bad call. You heard Valiquette. He was apoplectic.
Well, no, and listen, and Hank the same way. I feel the same way. But then, you turn on the NHL Network, and you have two guys that played say it was a good call.
All right, well, listen, you can have the opinion you'd like. I agree. They should have put the game away earlier.
Here's the crazy part, though, is... Like, goalies were a little bit crazy, right? Like, I mean, you have to be a little nuts to stand in front of pucks going 100 miles an hour.
Yes.
Hank, one of the greatest goalies to ever play the sport, says, good goal. Valley, my goalie partner, good goal. I played goalie, good goal. And then you got two forwards on the NHL Network saying, nah, that shouldn't have been a goal. Usually it's the opposite. Every goalie saying, no, that's interference. No, no. Right. That's interference.
Right.
No, if you actually watch it, it's Dumoulin that wipes him out at the end of it. Dumoulin slides into him.
That's the thing that's so unbelievably frustrating, is that he clearly pushed him in.
Well, but I'm saying even after that, he pushes him in, which makes, so Kako now clips the head of DeSmith. So what DeSmith does, which is a smart play, is he actually wraps his stick around the shin pads of Kako. So now Kako's kind of pulling him, but it's Dumoulin that falls down because he loses his balance, and he slides into DeSmith, which pushes DeSmith out of the net. Kako clips him, but it's Dumoulin that pushes him out of the net.
Correct. Does it matter at all that it was called a good goal on the ice?
No, the refs are told to. Well, yeah, for me it would, because for me it's that I don't see. Here's how strongly I feel about it. If it was called no goal on the ice and I'm in Toronto, having played the position, I would say it should be a goal because Dumoulin clearly pushes him into the goalie.
Correct.
So the fact that it was called the goal on the ice, I was surprised. But now, see, again, that's one of those ones where, okay, well, you know, there's only three and a half minutes left in this game. This could be the game-winning goal. We don't want this to be how it ends. That shouldn't be. No, it doesn't matter what time of the game it is.
Either it's a goal or it's not a goal.
That's it.
Preseason, regular season, overtime, 5 minutes into the game. It's a goal or it's not a goal. It's just that simple. Now, the best way to listen to music is at a concert in the front row, and the best way to eat a Nature Valley Crunchy Bar is outside. Somehow it makes the crunch even crunchier and the whole grains even whole grainier. See for yourself with Nature Valley. We teased the pickle, but I don't know that we can go with the pickle today because everyone is all wrapped up in this Rangers game from last night, and the phone lines are lit up. So maybe we do a pickle tomorrow?
No, I think we swap the pickle for a spicy pork and broccoli, maybe.
A little spicy pork and broccoli? Well, maybe we'll do that.
I want to get to the bottom of that. Santiago, I want you back at MSG on Thursday. I want you to do some investigative work. I want to know who's responsible for ordering spicy pork.
Some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
It sounds like it's Penguins personnel because I didn't see spicy pork anywhere on the
not the best.
Someone needs to be fired.
All right, can we break, please, before I get fired?
No, you're not going anywhere. You're going to get big money. You're going to get a long-term deal.
You don't know what's going to happen.
I know everything.
I mean, listen, you're killing people all over the place. I mean, it's a disaster.
I was trying to bring them back from the dead.
Yeah,
Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead, right?
No, what I'm saying is we have a quick seance.
You want him back? What, are you going to get Whoopi Goldberg to bring him back? She'll play the spirit.
I feel
Whoopi
like...
Whoopi will play...
Only if
Buck Showalter as portrayed by Philip Seymour
okay,
Hoffman.
But here's the deal, though. Only if at some point during this film it's me and you on the making me behind you shaping the clay pot. That's it. That's the only way I think
that would be very appropriate.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Take us anywhere you want. You want to take us to the beach. You want to take us to the bathroom. You want to take us to the backyard. I mean, in the car, wherever you want. Take us with you on the all-new ESPN New York app. Get all your favorite 98.7 radio shows and play-by-play streaming live. Then you can catch up on what you might have missed during the day or at night with podcasts from every show, including Hours, The K Show, Everything in Between, Everything After, all from the new ESPN New York app, available now on the App Store and Google Play.
Well said.
Thank you. You all right there?
Yeah, I'm good.
It sounds
fantastic.
Like
I was just admiring your work there.
I had a terrible steak.
I think you're making fun of me.
No. No, no, no. What a difference, though. Fournier had a bad steak. Louis Domingue was sitting there cold for how long and then had some spicy pork and broccoli.
Some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
Don't you think that someone would say to him, like,
not
no,
the
you,
best.
Can't, you can't eat spicy pork and broccoli.
Well, why else would you order it? Somebody ordered it to the locker room.
So you think it was ordered? So he didn't put in that order?
No.
It was ordered, brought to the locker room, and he was like, oh, spicy pork and broccoli. I'll have that.
Yeah, I'll indulge. I'm not playing. Like, if you want to send if you're sitting there and you're not playing, and you're not sitting on the bench, and you want to send the equipment guy up for a pretzel, or you want to have some popcorn, or you're in Montreal and you want to have a couple of delicious hot dogs, that's understandable. But there's no, I mean, unless Like, he's not Grubhub. Like, this is not DoorDash. Like, hey, you know what I could go for right now? I'm starving. Swing over to Tao or P.F. Chang's and get me some spicy pork and broccoli.
Spicy pork and broccoli. I got to be honest, though. Sounds delicious, doesn't it?
It does sound tasty. I don't know if it's conducive to playing great hockey as a goalie.
Well, you know, it didn't hurt him.
No. Can you imagine if that becomes like his pregame meal?
Right,
now?
His pregame meal? What do you have, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? No, spicy pork and broccoli.
Some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
That's my favorite part.
Not the best.
Not the best.
Not the best.
Because when he says it, he realizes how ridiculous it sounds, and he's like, it's not the best.
Like, what could be worse than that? Like, if you were like a chicken scallopini, that would be better than spicy pork and broccoli.
Yeah, I mean, chicken parm, scallop, whatever. No, you don't want to eat something like, you wouldn't want to eat something like that. Like
tuna fish sandwich, fine. Bagel and lox, fine.
You're not going to, the last thing you want to do is, God forbid, upset your stomach. So now you sit there in goalie gear. That takes forever to take off and put on, and you gotta go number two.
Yeah, very strange. Now, the Rangers' run for the Stanley Cup continues tomorrow at the Garden, and we partnered with MSG Networks, home of the New York Rangers, to give our listeners a chance to be at Game 2 courtesy of the Rangers. Watch, listen, and win playoff sweepstakes. This winner will receive a pair of tickets and some signed merch. The winner is Paul Adamczyk from Manasquan. Congratulations. You'll be contacted by MSG Networks later about how to claim your prize. 98.7 ESPN Radio and MSG Networks will give everyone a chance to win home tickets and some cool prizing. Just log in to watch MSG.com to learn more. I want to get to the calls because the Rangers fan deserves the floor to speak. Sean in Brooklyn. Sean, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, boys, what's going on? Good morning. How are you?
Good. Well, you know, not great. He's fine. I'm not fine. I'm annoyed. I'm tired. It's not a great morning for me.
Yeah, same here. I'm a lifelong Ranger fan. I'm up late last night watching the game, knowing that I got to wake up with my 9-month-old today at 4:35 in the morning. I'm just hoping they can pull it out so that it can make it a little more enjoyable. But didn't happen. Confident for Thursday. But I do want to talk about that call a little bit, if you guys will indulge me.
Let's hear it, yeah.
What did they see in Toronto to make it definitive, right? Because my understanding is, you know, the call on the ice was goal. You got to see something definitive that makes you want to overturn it. So what's the standard there? Is it just contact? Is it
would you like
causes the goalie to go outside the crease to lose his positioning? Because if there's a shadow of a doubt, you can't overturn that call.
All right, would you like the actual NHL Situation Room explanation that I got via email?
Please. Please.
It says that the video review determined that Kaapo Kakko impaired Casey DeSmith's ability to play his position in the crease prior to Hedl's goal.
Come on.
Yeah, you're right.
I agree.
It's a garbage call. It's a garbage call.
Right? Like, you don't have Dumoulin pushing him. There's doubt that he even makes contact. So, I don't know. I don't see how you overturn that.
You can actually see that Kaapo Kakko, he's trying to score there. Like, he's not trying to, like, he's not the kind of player that's going to, like, purposely put his head down and run over the goalie. Like, you can see, you know, with his hands, his upper body, and then his actually, if you look at his feet, that he's trying to slow up, pull around, and then make his way around the Smith. But because as he pulls back, Dumoulin falls into him, he falls forward. And then what for me seals the deal is that it's Dumoulin who falls down that actually pushes the Smith with Kakko out of the net. That was a bad call, man. I don't like when calls like that are made because of time and situation of a game.
So you think if that same play happens 5 minutes into the first period, that's a goal?
I've seen that, but I've seen that play. I've had that play happen to me, and it's called a goal. Where I'm like breaking sticks over crossbars because I'm saying I can't. I'm out of the net. They push me out of the net, and the referee's like, no, blame your defenseman because it was your defenseman that pushed the forward into you that pushed you out of the net.
That's right. Now, had he not been pushed by Dumoulin, then that's a different story, right?
Absolutely.
But he was, and it's clear. I mean, you saw him pushing him at the numbers on the back of the jersey. Vinny Queens. Vinny, you're on 98.7, pal.
Hey, guys. Listen, I'm annoyed they lost. I'm cranky because I stayed up late to watch it. And the offense has to be better in overtime, especially. Panarin was a non-factor. But I don't blame the offense for why they lost. I mean, you scored three goals. We all agree it should have been a fourth goal. When you score three or four goals and you have a Vezina-caliber goalie in net, you expect to win the game. I mean, you let up 80-something shots. I mean, that can't happen. I mean,
83.
The bottom defensive pair of Nemeth and Schneider, they're not very good. And that lack of depth on the defense got exposed when Lindgren went down with the injury. You know, Fox and Miller played a ton of minutes. I mean, Trouba, too. They're all young guys, those three guys. But if we're planning to make a deep run into the playoffs, you can't rely on those three guys to be on the ice for as long as they were. I mean, they're not going to last. They're going to break down. And the Crosby line, Rick, I know you've been saying it all morning, that Crosby line is going to be a problem. They got to figure out right now how they can slow them down.
Well, yeah, they have to eliminate their time and space. I mean, the best way to slow down a line like that is to actually to have the puck in the offensive zone and make them play D. But, I mean, when you give Crosby that kind of time and space, I mean, you saw it on that 2-on-2. Is he's got time, he crosses through the middle, and then Fox lets him go, Lindgren steps up, and then Fox decides he doesn't want to pick up Gensel, and then Crosby does what Crosby does, makes a perfect pass, and they score. But, yeah, I mean, that line drove most of Pittsburgh's offense last
night. Yes, yes. I mean, they were phenomenal. Crosby was great. But I think that the caller brings up a good point, and that is you score what should have been 4 goals in regulation, and that should be enough. And you know what? Frankly, would have been enough to win that game last night.
Well, yeah, but that's because you have Shesterkin in the net. I mean, giving up 25 shots in one period should never happen. That shouldn't happen.
Right, but you're hard-pressed to imagine that oftentimes he's going to allow more than 3 goals in 60 minutes of hockey.
Yes, correct. But still, I mean, it's not necessarily about shots. It's also quality of the shots.
Well, listen, he stood on his head. To allow 3 goals in regulation and then only 4 goals in almost 2 full games, he was sensational.
Well, yeah. I mean, just go back to the first goal. I mean, the save he makes prior to that first goal is, that's, you know, that's SportsCenter top 10 kind of material. Like, it was an unbelievable save. And then puck stays in the zone and they end up having, you know, the Gensel, you know, on that Crosby pass, right, you know, wide open in front of the net. That's another place that the Rangers have to do better. They have to be tougher and stronger in front of their net, and they have to get some bodies and pucks to Pittsburgh's net, please.
I mean, for God's sakes, it doesn't always have to be this ice capades goal. Just throw the puck at the net, and then there's a rebound, and then you bang it home. Eric in Morristown. Eric, go ahead, buddy. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Referees have no business influencing the outcome of a game, especially playoffs. Their job is to let them play. Don't let them get chippy, and don't let it get out of hand. That being said, 6 periods of hockey, 1 play does not make a game. And finally, I think the boys in Toronto got the outcome they wanted. Exciting 6 periods, 3 overtimes hockey, and we're all talking about it, and we got a great series, 2 evenly match teams, and it's going to be like this for hopefully 7 games, and hopefully we'll come out. And that guy Tom from Pittsburgh, there's a reason why you live in Pittsburgh, Tom. You're Bush League. Thanks, guys.
Nice. Take shots. I love it.
Well, listen, Tom can put his head on the pillow and feel good at night knowing that Mitch Trubisky is his quarterback.
Well, he's got Kenny Pickett, too.
That gives me a level of comfort.
He's got Kenny Pickett.
Until old Baby Hands takes over.
Baby Hands?
Kenny Pickett.
Let's go to Danny in Amityville. Oh, the horror. Good morning, Dan. You're on 98.7.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
What's up, Danny?
Nothing. So, defense didn't play that well yesterday. They gave up a lot of stuff. And the number one factor for us is Panarin doesn't shoot. I think he's scared.
No, he's not scared.
I don't think he's scared.
No, he looks to facilitate the offense. He had a rough night last night.
He's not scared.
It's almost every single night. The guy has a wide open shot, looks just like, I don't know if it was the second overtime or third. Wide open shot in front, doesn't take it.
Well, I mean, the guy had...
Honestly...
Yeah. Hold on. One second. Let's not bury the lead here, Danny. Guy had 74 assists, man. I mean, that's part of what makes him great. That's what he does.
I'm not taking anything about him. He's probably the best passer in the league, if not top 3. But he also has one of the best shots in the NHL. Like, there's at times you have to, you know...
Well, he knows.
Just actually take shots.
See, here's the way I look at it.
At the end of, what'd you say?
We get it, Danny.
He had 2 shots.
Here's how I would look at it. Does he need to shoot more? Absolutely agree with that. Is he scared? That is a preposterous. He's not scared. He's a great player. He's like, you know what he's like? He's like he's a pass-first point guard is what he is. He looks to facilitate before he looks to shoot and score.
But he can score, though.
So, absolutely he can.
And someone like him, I mean, almost 32 minutes on the ice. You got to have more than 2 shots. And by shooting now, that's going to, like, to all of a sudden now make yourself more of a threat to shoot, that's going to open up passing lanes for you.
That is correct. Sal Queen. Sal, go ahead. You're next up.
What's going on, guys? I feel like the biggest problem with the Rangers yesterday was actually the fact that we couldn't win a single offensive faceoff in overtime or double overtime because it was actually, like, every time they would ice the puck, we would just give it right back to them and they would clear it out and then they'd make their change anyway. It wouldn't matter.
Well, we got to let
faceoffs were a problem.
What's happening there.
Especially faceoffs in your defensive zone. There were too many times where the Penguins were winning faceoffs clean.
They were awful in the faceoffs, but I mean, does it shock you? The Rangers are not a very good faceoff team.
Well, yeah, listen, there's something to be said about just make sure you don't lose them clean, though. I don't need you to win them clean, but just you can't
right. At least have a scrum off the faceoff, right?
Yeah, like so just don't allow the other team to start running all their faceoff plays on you. Like bad things tend to happen when all of a sudden now I have, you know, a clean faceoff win. It's going to, I mean, there's enough time now where the D can walk the blue line and I'm going to have three guys in front plus my guys and we're going to get, you know, a wrister to the net with all those bodies and sticks. Like that almost eliminates the fact that you have the best goalie in the league. Because, I mean, if he can't see it or puck's getting deflected, there's nothing he can do about that.
You're right. I think that the takeaways are this. You have to do a better job in front of the net. You have to do a better job on the faceoffs. And you have to... You have to limit their opportunities.
Crosby line.
have to slow that line down.
Down.
I still stand by it. I like the Rangers' chances to win the series.
Yeah, listen, they showed you. There's a lot of positives to be taken out of last night. I mean, you take... Now, it's probably not going to look as good as it looked in the first period because that was just a dominant period. But you saw... I mean, you gave yourself a blueprint as to what it should look like a majority of the time.
A little piece of you this morning is happy that this happened?
I despise... The Penguins. Despise them.
So you dislike the Penguins more than you dislike the Rangers?
I hate both, but the Penguins winning does me no good. At least the Rangers winning allows me to talk hockey.
And you pick the Rangers to win, and you know how upset you get when you get a pick wrong.
Yeah, if all of a sudden now I'm bringing back Philip Seymour and I got picks wrong now, this is when bad things start to happen for me.
Steve in Connecticut. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7.
What's going on, gentlemen? Great day for sports yesterday. Garbage play with the Rangers. He was pushed into the crease. End of story with that one. Yankees, my man was out running the home. And the last garbage play of the night was that nasty flagrant foul to on Golden State. Horrible.
You can't
hit a guy in the ear. That's crazy.
Well, not even that, though. Repulsive. But he wasn't even close. He wasn't even close to the basketball. That was, that was intentional.
He's got to get suspended for
that. Has to. The guy, I mean, he fractured his elbow, man. Like, that has to be a part of it.
That was a flat-out dirty play. There's no two ways about it.
No, it was a dirty play. And again, you hate to see that happening. All of a sudden now, Gary Payton Jr. is lost. So
it
that's
stinks.
Not...
That absolutely stinks. So you're right, though. We were this close from the perfect New York sports day.
I know.
You don't get that often.
Not like that, no. Not like that. And the other thing, too, I'll just add this to finish up the Rangers conversation for today, is you mentioned the front of the net. Like, defensemen especially, right? Like, I mean, Trouba's tough to play against. I think Miller's, you know, get the size to do that. But you got to be a little bit tougher to play against the in front of your own net. Have to be. Because if you keep pucks to the outside, listen, man, I mean, you saw what Shesterkin can do. Keep pucks to the outside. You can't have puck. I mean, they're scoring on open, you know, back door open nets. Because stuff like that can't happen. Give yourselves a chance.
Better. You're right. You got to be better. So hopefully tonight won't be as late a night for us. You have the Mets this afternoon.
Which is great.
And they look to which is perfect for me because I'm going to get a good nap in and then I get the Rangers at 1:15. So we get McGill. I mean, there's not a guy that takes the mound that you don't have trust in now with the Mets.
Little tea with Miss McGill.
That's right.
No. I mean, and again, going back to yesterday and how happy I was with the result yesterday. I mean, for Cookie Carrasco. In the the game two of the doubleheader to give you eight was, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more. It was
really was into the one inning of Lugo. Because like I said, I didn't know how they were going to get from starter to the end of the game. And they only needed three outs to do that. And then the Yankees make it 11 in a row and they just continue to roll along. And then we can watch them tonight as well as you get Nestor Cortez against Kikuchi tonight. So the Yankees look to sweep Toronto, make a huge statement, make it 12 in a row. Baseball in New York is thriving at the moment. All right, speaking of thriving, it gets no better than three stars of the day.
Today's three stars. Number three.
All right, so at one point early on in today's program, Dave kind of lashed out at RJ, sort of blaming him for the three overtime thing happening. That's I don't know which one of you has the supernatural powers that caused this thing to happen, but I would like one of you, whoever it is, to take the responsibility. And if you do have that ability, make it so that the Rangers win the rest of these games and that they don't go to triple overtime. Please do me that favor. Be much appreciated.
That'd be nice.
Number two.
We've talked about terrible steaks on this program.
I had a terrible steak.
So I'll tip my hat and give credit where credit is due to Louis Domingue.
Some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
Spicy pork, fresh pads, comes out and beats the Rangers. You tip your hat and you move on.
Not the best.
Tip number one.
Yeah, well, what else can you do?
It's a credit to Louis. That's a credit to Louis Domingue.
And stew on it until they drop the puck tomorrow night.
He's stewing on it with his spicy pork. What do you want?
That's a credit to his digestive system.
What do you want?
That man's made of steel on the interior.
And listen, number one star, the late night, I think, caused us to lose a lot of train of thought today.
I had something to say, and I have no recollection of what that was. So let's turn into the Mets for a minute.
We never figured out what that one thing was. Rick, of course, had no recollection that somebody was dead.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead, right?
Yeah, I do. But, if they were going to do a movie, and he was alive, I would go with him.
you had no idea, did you?
I had no idea. No.
We're just going to blame it on triple overtime. Great job today, guys.
I love it. But Dave, if they were going to do a movie. Yeah, no, I understand. That's why you said if someone were to play Buck Showalter. But you know what? We did this on very little sleep, and I thought we did a very, very nice job. You know who does a great job? Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman. One third of KJM comes your way in just moments here on 98.7 ESPN. Max, it's so matter of fact now with your Yankees. All they do is win games.
Yeah, I'm telling you guys, as I said yesterday, Kiner Falefa is a huge pickup. I said that when the Donaldson trade went down, and that's what everyone's talking about, although that's also a nice pickup. Rizzo's defense at first, not to mention the left-handed swing, et cetera, everyone's talking about that. And the bullpen is fantastic. Guys, look at the starting pitching. You have to adjust your understanding of it to the modern game, of course, because these guys are going 4 2/3, 5 1/3, 5 innings, right? You have Gerrit Cole at the top. Cashman finally took the locks off the wallet and went over the top for a legit ace to head the staff. Worked with CC Sabathia once upon a time. Gerrit Cole is that guy now. Severino was an ace before Cole got there. He got hurt. He is now healthy. That's top. Those are two excellent top two guys at the top of your rotation. And the next three guys, Jordan Montgomery is very good. Remember, he was kind of like Andy Pettit-like early in his career. He got hurt. He's healthy now. Nestor Cortez had that immaculate inning. Real good lefty. Little left-handed pitcher, knows how to pitch. And Taillon had real stuff. That's why they acquired him. And yesterday, he goes 6 innings with 1 earned run. They got good starting pitching, guys, and they're just good.
All right, so you just wax poetic about how much you love your Yankees. So tell me right now, today, as we sit here, what are your expectations for this team as we move forward?
I thought they were among the World Series favorites to start the season. I still feel that way. It is going to come down to me, Severino. And I thought this in recent years when the Yankees were in the playoffs and Sevy was there. He struggled in big moments early in his career in the playoffs. But Severino had the highest average velocity on his fastball in baseball, better than anyone before he got hurt. He gets back to that, and he's getting close, right? He gets back to that, and as he went on in his career, a little better in the postseason. If he can be an ace when it matters most to go with Gerrit Cole, Yankees can win the whole thing.
All right, Max, so you come everyone's way in just moments here on 98.7. What do you have on tap for the show today? I heard you have a big guest at 8:10 this morning.
Oh, we do. Rick DiPietro. I don't know if you heard about him. ESPN hockey analyst. He's also the co-host of a very popular show on ESPN in New York, 98.7, DiPietro and Rothenberg. Have you heard of him? Pietro.
Yeah, wow, that's nice.
He's fine, yeah. He's okay.
Stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
So, yeah, we got to get into this PFF stuff on the Jets and their draft. And, of course, we have Alan Hahn on from Bart and Hahn. Noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. I'm sure we're going to get into the two-on-two between Bart and Hahn and Jay Will, one of the greatest college players ever, and Keyshawn. For some reason, they're playing 2-on-2. And Bart Scott, of course, very confident they can somehow win that game. I don't know why. Yeah, we you know, and then the stuff with LeBron and the Lakers, guys. There's a good chance he's not a Laker next year. So there's a lot to get into.
It's a lot of stuff. I'm just saying this though, Max. If Key and Jay will lose this 2-on-2, I think they both have to leave the country.
They
control their faces.
Let me ask you this, guys. Is it possible? It would be so on brand for the Knicks that they wind up with a 38-year-old LeBron James who's no longer the best player in the game, right? Like, isn't that on brand for the Knicks? We got LeBron! Da, 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 and you know, when he's 38 years old? Seems on brand to me.
Yeah, and then we'll draft Bronny. It'll be perfect.
I got to tell you, I could think of a lot worse things than winding up with LeBron James at 38 years old, though.
Yeah, if you're a Knicks fan, it's the greatest thing that's happened to you since they drafted Patrick Ewing.
Exactly. All right, get ready, because 810 is going to be spicy on your show. Max, we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, and on that note, it's Rule 76.
No excuses playing a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg and
Buck Showalter.
Ooh, on 98.7 ESPN.
Not the best.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.